Here's our TSN hockey insider, Chris Johnston. Could you see that being the case come playoff time, CJ? And how do you think Matthews would respond to playing on a line without any of Marner, Nylander, or Bunting?
I think at this stage of his career, he'd be okay with it. You know, I really get the sense that Austin is all in on winning and you know, willing to kind of do whatever it takes. We see that he's, you know, I think blocked the most shots in the league to this point or darn near it. And, you know, I don't think he's as concerned about, you know, some of his individual numbers as maybe, you know, naturally was in the past. So I think he'd be up for it. I'm not sure that this isn't just, you know, 13 games left in almost garbage time of a season and Sheldon Keefe's trying things. You know, I don't know that the coaching staff, you know, will want to go this way, but, you know, I think it makes sense to have a bunch of different looks. And you know, remember, come playoff time, you're going to have O'Reilly back in the mix as well to have another forward probably playing somewhere in the top six or, I guess, potentially the top nine. I could see Austin being asked to carry a line a little bit more and then spreading some of that other higher-end offensive talent on lines two and three.
CJ, we talked about Matt Murray's game on Saturday night where he looked really good. I'm not privy. I don't know if Samsonov is going to get the start tomorrow or not, but we had a debate on down the stretch here. If you believe that the games will be split or if it's Samsonov's net and you just bleed in Murray, what's your thought process with that?
I would think it'll be closer to a split. I mean, for one, Murray's still kind of getting up and running after his latest injury, the ankle issue he had. And, you know, I don't know that the Leafs have made up their mind anyway which guys got the net. I mean, obviously Samsonov's had the better regular season to this point, but I don't think we can discount the confidence that the Leafs staff have in Murray's track record, his history. You know, the fact he's just played so many more playoff games and had success there. You know, it's not to say he will be starting those games, you know, right off the bat when we start round one, but I think that he'll get a chance to play a fair bit between then and now to see where he's at and you know, gauge if that's the case. And you know, at this point, it's a good problem to have if both of them play well. I mean, I do think that you're likely to see both goaltenders at some point play minutes during the playoffs in this run, and so I don't think they'll ride either guy, you know, too much, and they'll sort of split it and see where they're at when they have to make a decision in mid-April.
CJ, what lineup-wise is going to get your attention, like heading into playoff time? Is it the forward mix, who makes the cut, D pairing, the goaltenders, as we just mentioned? What's going to kind of get your attention?
Probably the D pairings, and you know, even who's playing. You know, we've seen a lot of mixing and matching back there, even, you know, Mark Giordano being, you know, a healthy scratch on Saturday as they kind of load manage him slash, you know, find a way to incorporate eight players into six positions on any given night. And, you know, I don't know that I have a clear idea exactly how this is going to shake out. Obviously, there's some pretty big changes at the deadline in bringing in Shen and Gustafson, you know, and also trading out Sandin. You know, trying to figure out, you know, where Justin Hall fits into the mix. I think that's probably more imperative than even the forward groups. I mean, obviously there's some fluctuations there, and we'll you know, presumably get O'Reilly back before the end of the season to sort of see where they think things are at there. But, you know, I think finding out how the best way to use those Ds and to mix and match them is probably the biggest thing I think that they have to kind of lock in over the final 13 games, because it's not clear to me right now who the exact top six is, how that lines up, and I'm not sure it is to the coaching staff just yet either.
Yeah, I see it the same way, CJ, and I think this was always going to be the case. When you bring in so many new players, both up front and on the back end, you're going to see a combination of different pairings and different lines. That was mandatory, effectively, to make sure everyone kind of found their footing. But at what point do you think it goes from a part of the process to an element of frustration for the coach? In other words, it's not about, you know, I've got a great idea of where it's going and this is positive, we're just moving pieces around. When might it turn to, I'm not sure who our six are or what our best pairings are going to look like? Like, are you sensing any frustration on Keith's front from that standpoint?
Not yet. You know, I mean, they've still been winning by and large, and yep, it's kind of working with moving things around. You know, I would have to think at some point as we get to the final couple of weeks, it won't be, you know, take these two in for this game, take these two out. I mean, I think that we'll start to get a sense, even if they did, whether they declared or not publicly. I think that the lineup decisions as we get closer to the playoffs will probably tell us who that top six is. You know, how specifically are they going to incorporate Shen? Are they going to, you know, keep going 11-7 as they have a little bit in recent weeks, or are they, you know, strictly going to be 12-6? I think that those are the things that they kind of have to hone in on ultimately. And then in the meantime, you try to take the positive out of this. I mean, Mark Giordano's played more minutes, for example, this year than I think anyone would have imagined, just with the injuries they had early on in the year and frankly, how good he's been. You know, he's been very reliable given that he's the oldest skater in the league. But, you know, the opportunity maybe to get a little bit more rest for someone like that, knowing that you're going to lean on him more, you know, I think it's still a positive. So I haven't sensed any frustration from the coaching staff. You know, it's probably not easy on all the guys. You know, I would imagine, you know, there's a little bit of looking around wondering, hey, where do I fit? You know, some sort of indecision there that seemed to be a little bit of a factor, specifically with Timothy Liljegren, you know, right after the deadline. You know, he's had a pretty good year, and you know, you could almost sense him looking around wondering, you know, how the chips were going to fall. But, you know, I think there's a lot of communication going on and trying to ease everyone into this. And the truth is, if they end up having a long playoff run, they're probably going to need all those bodies anyway.
With Chris Johnston, our TSN Hockey Insider. So Mitch Marner's got his sights set on some Leaf history. He has 89 points in 69 games. They got 13 games left. He needs 11 points to hit 100 on the season. He'd be the first winger in Leaf history to do that, which is pretty incredible, again, when you think about it. I feel like we were talking about that with Matthews a lot last year, chasing records, going for 50 goals, chasing a heart. You know, how a team's been around for over 100 years with incredible history, yet individual status has not necessarily been there. But it feels like a foregone conclusion he will do that. He's, you know, back-to-back first-team NHL All-Star. Again, if he hits 100-plus points this year, what could we be talking about in terms of what he's establishing here in terms of team history and possibly holding claim to being the greatest winger in Leaf history?
Well, I think he's got a pretty good claim already, and he's still got a, you know, number of years I would expect to play for the team. You know, this just seems normal now. I'm almost surprised, you know, I haven't looked it up that he hadn't hit 100 points yet, because he's kind of been in that class, you know, for the last few seasons. This is, you know, his sort of just acceptable bar is pretty impressive. And I think both he and Matthews have a chance really to go down as two of the best players in the franchise in the entire history. Now, some of that's going to be contingent on, you know, ultimately having some playoff success, I think, fairly or not. That will taint the conversation one way or another when we're looking back and in the rear view at their careers when all is said and done. But, I mean, here in real time, what you can measure, I mean, these guys are already climbing the all-time lists, and they're, you know, just in their mid-20s. You know, if they remain Leafs, which I know the organization has prioritized and said numerous times that, I've heard Brendan Shanahan say variations of, you know, if it's up to him, these guys will be playing here their whole careers. You know, they have a chance to do something pretty special. And, you know, Marner's doing it this year. And as I say, it almost just feels normal. It's like, oh, hum. We were making a big deal, I guess, earlier on in the year. We had that long point streak over 20 games. But, you know, for the most part, he just, you know, he sort of made the magic almost just seem normal because his level is so high.
CJ, you just mentioned playoff success. How complex of a scenario is it, do you think, playing in Toronto, where it's like you've done everything, these guys, 5-on-5 regular season, to just say, like, let's get it done? Everyone talks about the media attention and the pressure in Toronto. Just how complex of an ordeal is that to just say, let's just get this done in the playoffs?
Well, you can see it, I think, now. I mean, I certainly think that's kind of been the focus of the main players all this year. You know, I haven't sensed that any part of the season was about scoring titles or this many points or, you know, I think that they understand that this is, you know, it's kind of put up or shut up time. I'm not saying they're all going to be shipped out of town if it doesn't go their way over 2 weeks in April, but, you know, clearly I think everyone understands there's going to be changes, you know, throughout the organization if that's the case. And so, you know, this feels like the year that they have to kind of figure out a way to get it done, or, you know, all bets are off in terms of the direction of where things go. And so I think it is complex. I think they're going to feel it, especially, you know, once we get into April, they got a late game in Tampa late in the regular season, and then there'll be a lot of focus at that point on the start of the playoff series. And, you know, I mean, they have to view it as an opportunity because they are once again among the very top teams in the league. You know, Tampa looks a little bit vulnerable. I know maybe dangerous to say that, but they've had some injuries. You know, they've obviously had the long playoff runs. Their star players are, you know, a fair bit older than Toronto's and, you know, have more mileage on them. You know, there's an opportunity, a big opportunity to change the narrative. And I think that's what they have to focus on and find a way to get the job done. And specifically when I look back, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons we can point to why they haven't won the big game. And they've had a number of, you know, big do or die games in the playoffs. But, you know, Marner and Matthews haven't kind of had enough big moments in those games. And so, you know, I think that there's probably a fair bit of individual pressure on those guys to, you know, to step up and have a 3-point night in a game seven or score an overtime win or do something that tilts a series because, you know, it's not that they've been horrible in the playoffs, but they certainly haven't been the kind of difference makers that you would expect, you know, given their individual talents.
Well, and that is really what can be very exciting. And getting right back to the Marner conversation about where he stands in franchise history, I think if you look it up, you're talking in terms of wingers, George Armstrong, Mahovlich, Lanny McDonald, Wendell Clark. So in recent eras, you're talking Wendell. Look at what he did in 93. Look at what he did in 94. Like, he was scoring massive, massive goals in massive moments. And like that, it's mandatory. But if it happens, it can immediately skyrocket you past all of those players potentially. Like, it really can happen in 2 months where these guys have built it up. I'm talking specifically Matthews and Marner, where they drafted, developed, been here for 7 years. This is their eighth, and they're playing phenomenally well, racking up accolades, putting up numbers, putting up points. They're going to rewrite the record book. You do it in the playoffs, and it's like the mic is dropped. It's the only thing holding them back. Like, the only thing from them legitimately saying, I'm not sure anyone's been better in this uniform. And
right.
it has to happen, though.
Think of that last 2 years. They had a game six in Tampa, and they're in overtime. If they score a goal, they move on. They had a game six in Montreal in overtime, same deal. I think the shots in Montreal were like 12-1. If those guys score one goal in that moment, an overtime goal to move the team on to the next round, and they go and have a long run. I mean, the whole conversation is different. I mean, one moment could change the entire complexion of the way this team looks and those individuals look to everyone.
Yeah, and that's what it's going to come down to, because I think what Dubas has done here is he's supplied them with depth, veteran leadership, quality intangibles, quality toughness, some speed. You know, it's everything's there to just prop up the big guys to say, go out and you guys do it. You know, like, go out there and just be the difference maker. And it's always been the case in the past, but there could be times where you could say maybe there wasn't enough or maybe you were asking too much, though I don't think that has been the case. But now I think the doubt is completely gone. You know, as long as the third, fourth line, third pairing, you know, does what they're capable of doing, it's just going to be a spotlight on those guys, you know, the big players. And you can't let Kucherov be better. You can't let Point be better. And then you can't let Marchand and Bergeron, like, sometimes it breaks down to that. You know,
just
who's better?
Be better, man.
Yeah,
be
who's better? Exactly. Who's
scary
better? Is
part,
it Mahomes
dude.
Or Hurts? Who's better?
Scary, you know, like, part is, what if Vasilevsky is just better than Samsonov?
Goaltending is the ultimate. You got to almost put that aside for this conversation. But when it happens, it will be a big part of it. There's no question. Like, goaltending is 80% of likely what's going to happen to the players.
Great equalizer, right?
Yeah, absolutely, it can be. And that could be a two-way street. But and that's what's coming. You know, it's been Toronto-Tampa for like 3 months, 4 months. We're well aware of what's on the horizon here. So we'll see.
Do you want game one at home or do you want game one in Tampa if you're the Leafs?
I think at home, personally. I think at home. I think you have Samsonov in net. He's feeling good at home.
I'd say road.
You think they'd be better off on the road? Why do you say that?
Mentally? Because you split. If you have to win both at home to start off with, and all the road team said, we just need a split. That's all they need. Like, that's the mentality on. So teams that start on the road, they're fine. Remember, what is the saying? Is you're never out of a series until you lose a home game, right?
Right.
Like, I don't care. I think you want game seven on your home ice. But I think if they're going to do it, they're going to do it a different way. So I don't think Tampa's catching them, but they might. And I just, preference, I don't think Tampa cares. I think they would prefer to start on the road. They're just like that. But mm-hmm. I just, You need a split. That's all you need, that first two. And it can sway into your favor. It takes away home ice.
Right.
That's what's scary for me.
Yeah. That's the beauty of the playoffs.
I don't know how you guys feel.
You can
feel.
See it both ways. I'd always take home ice, personally, but I can't argue against that logic. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're bang on about the Lightning. I mean, they won one cup locked behind a fence for 80 days in 2020, and then they won the second one 2021 with all road. They started every series on the road. So, I mean, those guys feel like they can win wherever they play.
Yeah, they got a pretty good history of doing that, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, CJ, we'll leave it there. Good stuff, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, talk next week, boys.
There's Chris Johnston, our TSN hockey insider.